Hello and welcome to Making a Difference. I'm Eric Crossley with Season 2, Episode 2, Catastrophe and Treason at the U.S. Capitol. This is also Episode 37. My producer, Dayron Arias, has told me we're in a new season. Thank you, Dayron, down in Florida. And going on to Season 2 and a new year, 2021, which I had hoped and had even mentioned, I think, in the first show of the year, that I hoped would be a lot better. Most people hoped would be just a fantastic year compared to 2020. That things would start getting better. And that was blown right out of the water on Wednesday, January the 6th. So this episode is only about what happened this week at the United States Capitol and the disgrace that we face as a nation because of it. So we'll have more episodes coming up, and they're going to be coming fast. We're going to have episodes where we are going to talk more about the terrorist, United States terrorist groups like the Proud Boys, who were involved in this and allowed to just walk into the U.S. Capitol. There's a lot of background material we're going to be sorting through and going through, but for right now, let's just go back over what happened. Of course, the election we covered extensively in November. We talked about the president, President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, and how they won the election 306 to 232 in the Electoral College, and they won by over 7 million votes over now to be former Vice President Donald Trump and former Vice President Mike Pence. That being said, right now, they have, of course, never, Trump has just now finally conceded the election, but Trump has never said that he conceded the election up until just now, today, January 8th, over 2 months since the election. What happened this week was the Electoral College voted, as we discussed last time, on December 15th, and everything was finalized. For some unknown reason, this has to go to Congress and then be voted on. That's one thing we have to stop doing. The Electoral College is bad enough. Keep in mind, we wouldn't even have Donald Trump if it weren't for the Electoral College. If we had a popular vote in 2016, Hillary Clinton won by nearly 3 million votes. She lost the Electoral College 306 to 232. This time in 2020, let me remind everybody one last time, maybe not the last time, 306 to 232, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris won, and they also won by over 7 million votes. And the extra votes and the extra precincts in those states like Wisconsin and Michigan and Georgia, that was enough to put them over the top, and thank God they were elected. Can you imagine if Donald Trump had actually been reelected and was going to be president for 4 more years? Think about that, folks. Now, lawmakers, this is from the New York Times, resumed counting Electoral College votes on Wednesday, hours after a mob of Trump loyalists stormed the Capitol, resulting in the death of one woman. Vice President Pence gaveled in the session and said that Wednesday was a dark day in the history of the United States Capitol. Not only is it a dark day in the history of the United States Capitol, Wednesday, January the 6th, is a dark day in the history of the United States, period. To those who wreaked havoc on our Capitol today, you did not win, Vice President Pence said. Violence never wins, freedom wins, and this is still the people's house. Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, promptly vowed that the Senate would finish its work Wednesday night and the insurrection would fail. Congratulations to the Democrats and Republicans who came back into the chambers, reaffirmed finally the Electoral College vote, and now, for the final time, we will have a new president in just 12 days. And congratulations to President-elect Biden, Vice President-elect Harris, and it's going to be a difficult, difficult 4 years, to say the least. Now, what happened on Wednesday? Well, let's just do a quick review, and this comes to us from ABC News.
Insurrection and chaos at the U.S. Capitol, an attempted overthrow of democracy like we've never seen in American history.
They broke the glass.
Sheer terror as lawmakers duck and cover. While a violent pro-Trump mob stormed the seat of the U.S. government.
It's a horrifying day for America. Bloodshed, mob, violence, fear among the people's elected representatives doing the people's business that they might be killed. Tear gas wafting through the chamber of the House of Representatives. It could not have been a greater contrast and a greater tragedy for that Constitution.
Shots fired inside the House chamber.
I don't know that the fire.
Doors and windows bashed in.
Truly no words to describe the scene happening behind me here as Trump supporters have taken over the West Lawn here.
All this happening as the U.S. Congress is supposed to be certifying President-elect Joe Biden's victory.
Threatening the safety of duly elected officials. It's not protest. It's insurrection.
When the day dawned in D.C., the nation expected a very different kind of drama to play out.
Today was supposed to be one of those days in the democratic process that we don't even notice. This is the verdict of our people. And then the Congress counts them.
By mid-morning, thousands of Trump supporters were gathering for a Save America march, not far from the White House, there to protest President Trump's November election defeat, just 14 days before Joe Biden's inauguration. Trump's family appeared first, drumming up the crowd with incendiary rhetoric.
This is Donald Trump's Republican Party.
We are in this fight to the bitter end. We are going to take our country back.
At noon, the president took the stage, further fueling the fire of anger and dissent.
We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved.
He called on Congress to reject the election results, an election he lost by 7 million votes, but continues to call rigged despite no evidence.
We're going to walk down anyone you want, but I think right here we're going to walk down to the Capitol. You'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength.
Okay, we have to stop it there and understand how this all started. And this is how it all started right there. And you heard from, President-elect Biden at one time, at one point in there, talking about this being insurrection and absolutely not just protest. Then we heard from Trump's family, from his lovely son, Donald Jr., and his daughter, Ivanka, who basically called for an insurrection. But then the president himself telling people to walk up Pennsylvania Avenue to the Capitol. And go from there, folks, because who are the people at this protest? There were a lot of people who, I will say, at this protest on Wednesday, January 6th, who were just simply Trump supporters, people who somehow have still voted for him. We know 75 million people did, despite 82 million voting for Joe Biden. But we know that there were people there who were peaceful and who were just protesting in their mind what was a stolen election, which we know wasn't. But that being said, we have to look at the other people who were involved in this. And who were the other people involved? They were groups like the Proud Boys. They were groups that do nothing but promote right-wing violence and hate. Women for America First is one of the groups. The Silent Majority. The Proud Boys, as I says. And QAnon supporters, it's a very loose group, but it's a large group of people. These were people who were already ahead of Wednesday, January 6th, dictating all over social media, everywhere, what Donald Trump was telling them to do. Show up on January 6th and have an insurrection. This wasn't a joke. Somehow, some people on the other side, Republicans mostly, conservatives, were still saying, well, you know, it's a peaceful demonstration. Once the president spoke to them and told them to march up to the Capitol, that's not a peaceful demonstration anymore. He was telling them to riot. And today, on January 8th, we learned that one Capitol policeman has died. Our sympathies go out to him and his family and to people who care about him and to anybody else who was lost in this tragedy, even to the woman who was protesting inside illegally, of course, but was shot. Obviously, she was a mentally deranged woman who had problems, but we know that a lot of Capitol Police men and women were injured on Wednesday. But that being said, things have changed a bit, and I'm glad I waited to do this show since yesterday. My opinions on the police response are pretty solid right now. The Capitol Police, some of them did a decent job, but they were completely unprepared. There were several different videotapes, and I'll post them online if you'll go to my Facebook page, and I'll try to put them all over social media. There's several different incidences where Capitol Police and Metropolitan Police, our DC police, where they basically were aiding and abetting and even doing selfies with these terrorists, with people like the Proud Boys, the people that want to overthrow our government, the people that said they hate black people, they hate gay people. They want to see, I mean, read the stuff on these people, folks. This is what your president, these are people your president supports and who support him. So, you know, it's important that we delve, even once he's gone in just 12 days, thank God, that we delve and do research and we have charges come up against Donald Trump, number one, and everybody else who's been involved with this, because this was an attempt to overthrow the government. Nothing more, nothing less. It wasn't a protest. It was an insurrection. It's sedition. And the Capitol Police were a 100% complete failure. They made 61 arrests. 61 arrests in the U.S. Capitol. The U.S. Capitol was invaded. They let people in. They didn't do anything. When Black Lives Matter was protesting at the Lincoln Memorial, there were 191 arrests. They didn't invade the U.S. Capitol. They were just protesting. And look at the way the Park Police and the Metropolitan Police were prepared for that protest and how they were dressed. And look at what we had come in finally the other night on Wednesday. Finally, when the National Guard arrives, they come in. They're unarmed. They're unarmed. What in the F are they going to do to help? I was watching this. And what astonishes me is I was watching this in disbelief. The same thing the president was doing. He's watching it too. He wasn't talking to anybody. He wasn't having meetings. He wasn't making announcements that this needed to end. He was watching it. He was getting a hard-on from watching people invade the Capitol and try to take his country back because his election was stolen from him in his deranged mind. This is what you're dealing with the president of the United States. Now, the talk today, of course, is continuing about impeachment. Will that happen? It probably will happen if nothing else is symbolic. The 25th Amendment, I don't know. I know reports today are saying on Friday the 8th are telling us that the vice president and the president yesterday barely spoke to each other. And now we're understanding that President Trump is not allowing the vice president into the White House. This is just stuff that you just can't even fathom is going on. You can't believe what has happened to our country. I can't believe it. I am saddened, shocked. The insurrection itself and all that Trump did is one thing. The lack of response and the fact that these terrorists who wanted to overthrow our government were allowed to enter the U.S. Capitol by Capitol Police. The Capitol Police Chief has resigned. We know that. He should resign now, by the way. He says the 18th, but he's absolutely disgraceful. And everybody else, because this was a disaster of preparation. So we're going to be looking at all that. But keep that in mind, folks. The Capitol Police, some of them did a good job, and we're sorry for the one who died. But also keep in mind that, you know, this was just a disastrous response, and it's because they were white. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Eric Crossley. Welcome back to Making a Difference, Season 2, Episode 2, Catastrophe and Treason at the U.S. Capitol. We were going to have a lot more episodes coming up, and the rest of this episode, though, we wanted to talk more about what happened, the disaster at the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday, January the 6th, 2021. And that will be, as was the day of Pearl Harbor, a day that will live in infamy, just like 9/11, because there weren't, fortunately, many people killed, but there were many people injured. But the fact that these thugs, these right-wing, not rioters, but criminals, were allowed to simply walk into the U.S. Capitol was unbelievable. Now, President-elect Biden did say yesterday what I said, and I think millions of people have said ever since this happened, that Black Lives Matter protesters would have been treated very differently yesterday, Restore the honor, integrity, and independence of the Justice Department. And he appointed Merrick Garland as the head of the Justice Department. And we're very excited about that because that's going to be a great change in that area. Now, the question becomes, again, what happened? And let's go back and review. This is from NBC News.
Images are astonishing. Rioters on the Senate dais in House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office, ransacking the hallowed halls of our government.
It's embarrassing.
Even replacing the stars and stripes with the Trump flag. It was an unprecedented culmination to a day that started with thousands of Trump supporters caravanning from all over the country to contest what they called a rigged election and to hear President Trump one more time.
We will stop the steal.
Apparently spurred on by strident rhetoric from the president and his supporters.
Let's have trial by combat.
The rally turned into a march at the president's urging.
I'm going to walk down to the Capitol.
Some of the protesters believing incorrectly the president was marching with them.
President Trump is actually leading the crowd.
Once at the Capitol, the crowd, which included members of groups Women for America First, the Silent Majority, the Proud Boys, as well as QAnon supporters, became unruly.
We think that this election was rigged, stolen, it was fraud.
Pushing past overmatched and outnumbered Capitol Hill police. Once inside, protesters became looters, turning the Capitol inside out. Sadly, four people died in the chaos, including 14-year Air Force veteran Ashley Babbitt, who was shot and killed as rioters attempted to break into this locked corridor. Just the day before, Babbitt had tweeted in part, "Nothing will stop us. The storm is here, and it is descending upon D.C." Her family writing in a statement, quote, "Ashley was both loyal as well as extremely passionate about what she believed in. She loved this country and felt honored to have served in our armed forces."
There's a family that's going to grieve tonight because of what got out of hand.
Stunned lawmakers on both sides of the aisle mourned the loss of life and rebuked the unprecedented breach from secure bunkers inside the Capitol.
It's a disgrace for anyone to tolerate anybody to come in and try to put down our government.
When this whole thing wrapped up, there were rioters who were waving to cameras and taking selfies like they had done something great. I didn't see many arrests. I think we said there were around 52 that happened overall. But do we expect a wave of arrests to come?
Well, some of that lack of arrest may be because police were simply undermanned here yesterday. But I've covered protests in D.C. for a long time, and I suspect there will be significant additional arrests. There is so much closed-circuit television footage from the Capitol, video footage from social media and from news organizations, and some of that social media bragging you talked about will make it very easy for the NPD here in Washington, D.C. to track down these folks if they have the wherewithal to do so.
So the question becomes, why do we have to track down these people who were inside the U.S. Capitol, not just defacing the U.S. Capitol in a hallowed location, but going into offices and trespassing into offices, destroying equipment, putting their feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk, disgracing the halls of Congress, and planting pipe bombs, inciting violence, attacking police officers who were outmanned, the ones who were fighting back. But let's go back and say, why again was this allowed to happen? Because once they got into the Capitol, and I heard this earlier today, and I kind of agree with it, I believe that they were surprised. I think they were surprised because they've seen Black Lives demonstrators. They've seen gay protesters, LGBTQ protesters at the Capitol. They've seen protesters fighting, you know, a million different causes from our side, Black, gay, straight, Hispanic, African-American, male, female, whatever, transgender, whatever the case might be. But there was always huge amounts of Capitol Police and Metropolitan Police and other police right there. And they were always fully armed. They were ready to go. They were not going to let people up onto the stairs into the Capitol and inside. I mean, I remember protests where they told me that if you go into the Capitol, when I was there protesting for whatever cause it was back in the day, that if I went up the steps, I would be arrested. They weren't going to allow any of our protesters for my protest to go in. And this was, I believe, for gay marriage. It was back in the 2010s. But nevertheless, it shows you that just from my example, that I have been involved in protests. I've been involved. I was watching this on TV and I'm thinking to myself, as I'm watching this and the hours go by before we finally start to see the response and Mayor Bowser of DC come on and say that, you know, well, we're going to have a curfew at 6 o'clock and we'll do this and that. A couple of things to keep in mind. Mayor Bowser said that by the time the Metropolitan Police, the DC police, got there, it was already out of hand. In other words, it was out of hand when they got there. Why weren't they there ahead of time? Why weren't they there beforehand? And the Capitol Police, why were they totally unmanned? And why did the Capitol Police, some of them were letting barricades down and letting people in? I mean, this is beyond belief. And taking selfies. Every single Capitol Police or Metropolitan Police man or woman who is shown now on video aiding and abetting these people doesn't need to be just fired. They need to be prosecuted for aiding and abetting sedition against the United States of America. This is exactly what we were talking about since 2015 about Donald Trump. You know, all of it leading us to, I never dreamed in a million years. You know, I've done a lot of work in politics. Fortunately, I've never been, luckily, permanently in politics, but I've certainly been up fighting on Capitol Hill. We've had so many causes over the years, all the way back to 1968, as I've mentioned in previous shows, when I was working on the Robert Kennedy campaign in California with my older sister, who got me involved and really got me excited about politics, got me out at the Vietnam War protests, walking in the streets when I was 10 years old, 12 years old, doing things, fighting for causes. Now I look and I watch that Capitol and I was absolutely 100% disgraced and shocked and amazed. Number one, that we have so many of these people in this country who act like Donald Trump was God, that he could do no wrong, that whatever he said was true. And they're still there. You know, there's 75 million people voted for this idiot, even after all that we've talked about all these years. Remember, he was impeached last year. Remember, he was impeached. And then the Senate decided, we're not going to, you know, the Republican-controlled Senate decided, we'll just vote, you know, to acquit him, except for Mitt Romney. He was one vote on those two counts. One time he voted to convict Donald Trump of and remove him from office. Mitt Romney is a new hero, by the way. But all the other Republicans just let it go. There was no trial in the Senate, by the way, after this sedition happened, after Donald Trump aided and abetted Russia and Vladimir Putin and our enemy. Can you imagine Ronald Reagan, how he's turning over in his grave after all this? everything he stood for and believed in. Donald Trump's the opposite of that. And these people are the opposite of that, folks. I was not a huge Ronald Reagan fan, but oh my gosh, can you imagine? So right now I wanted to do just a couple of things. We know we're going to have more and more on this as time goes by, but we also know that in 12 days we're going to have a new president. And I will say for the 50 billionth time, as many times as I have to say it, congratulations to President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris. For the first time in history of the United States, we will have a woman vice president, and I'm sure we will have a woman president not too far down the road. We could have had one last time in 2016 if we had a popular vote. There's so many things we have to work on over the next 4 years, and there is so much hope because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are good people. Not perfect. And I'm not, a lot of times with Joe Biden, I haven't agreed with him. But remember, he was vice president under President Barack Obama for 8 years. And he was a very good vice president. Now, Senator Ted Cruz, and we'll get more in about these people in the future shows. Keep in mind what I talked before about some of these complicit people who are complicit in this attack on the U.S. Capitol. These are people who are in office, like Senator Ted Cruz. Senator Ted Cruz still, even after all this happened, was voting against certifying the election. In other words, he's still saying, you know, there was something wrong. There wasn't anything wrong. We talked about it time and time again. Ted Cruz is guilty of sedition and treason. Louie Gohmert, the stupidest man in Congress that we talked about extensively in the last episode, just in fact, he promoted violence. Louie Gohmert said that we're going to have to commit violence and he needs to be arrested and he needs to be removed from office. And Ted Cruz is going along with the same thing. They're in the same boat. So we're going to have to take a hard look and see exactly who was involved. There were some people who were very good. And I'll give House Speaker, Minority Leader McCarthy credit on that. He certainly said the correct things. He said it was a fraudulent election where they can take it away. And I know how you feel. But it wasn't a fraudulent election. So that was another thing from the minority leader that wasn't correct. So where do we stand now and where do we go from here? Number one, I wanted to mention Ted Cruz. We'll talk more about Ted. And Ted Cruz is a senator from Texas. Somehow, Texas thought he was one of the two best people they could possibly have as a U.S. senator. But Ted Cruz has been a staunch defender of Donald Trump all the way since he was elected. And he's standing by him still. So we'll do talk more about him. But I wanted to do a couple of quotes from one from Ted Cruz that I just wanted to finish with, because this was from Ted Cruz, May 3rd, 2016, and this was at a press conference. So this was just a little under 5 years ago. Senator Ted Cruz in a press conference in 2016, this is before Donald Trump was elected. This is the president, by the way, keep in mind that he's talking about glowingly still, who was cheated out of the election and is the most glorious man in the history of the world. Ted Cruz said, quote, Donald Trump is a pathological liar. He doesn't know the difference between truth and lies. He lies practically every word that comes out of his mouth. This is again, Senator Ted Cruz, a direct quote from 2016. If I were in my car and getting ready to reverse and saw Donald in the backup camera, I'm not confident which pedal I'd choose. And now Ted Cruz has turned 180 degrees and he believes that Donald Trump, maybe he didn't mean to say that after all. And you know, what do you give up your integrity and every ounce of courage you have, every ounce, any balls you have, and then you turn from doing that to being complicit with a traitor to overthrow the United States of America. How very, very, very sad. I'm sad I had to do this show. I didn't want to do this show. I wanted to be talking and be optimistic, folks, about the future. But this is where we are. I'm Eric Crossley with Making a Difference. We'll be back. We're going to have much, much more on this, and we're going to talk to some people directly and have them on the show and see if we can find out exactly where we're going from here. Happy 2021. Things will get better. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. I'm Eric Crossley. Thank you for listening to Making a Difference.